a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Oh, something's throwing me. I'm seeing it in the wild.
Mm.
It's usually while I'm driving and I do a what?
A rubberneck.
The double take. And I want to know if it's sort of as surprising for you as it is for me. Do you have anyone in your life that has an e-bike?
No.
Okay. Nor do I.
Okay.
So I'm not sort of exposed to e-bikes on a daily basis.
No, nor me. Nor me.
Right. But the premise is that it is sort of a standard mountain bike arrangement.
Yes.
Except that it's got a little engine in it that makes it sort of go.
Yeah. Right? And you don't have to pedal. You just sit there and enjoy the ride.
You charge it up overnight.
Yeah.
So I'll be driving home to Lara after work, you know, lunchtime on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I will look outside my window to like through the passenger window to the footpath or to the slip lane going through sort of Norlane, Corio area. And I'll see someone fanging alongside me.
Yeah.
At the same speed.
Yeah.
No helmet.
Yeah.
Not moving their legs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
What is happening here?
Did they just go pedal really fast,
get
up to speed?
Yeah, when does the pedaling happen?
Yeah, well, so I think that some of them generate electricity, but and then you can stop pedaling and then it just goes. And some, I believe, you would just charge overnight.
It's a battery,
right?
Yeah, like it's a battery thing.
So a couple of times this has happened where I've been particularly through Corio driving and look and see just someone who's just motoring. Like I'm doing 70 and they're also doing 70 on a bike, but their legs aren't moving. And my brain just cannot understand in that instant what is happening. And then I think, oh, e-bike.
Do you think that e-bike people see people looking at them and think, oh, I better do some pedaling?
No.
Do you think I don't
they're
care?
They're smug. They're like,
do you reckon it's smugness?
Like, yeah.
Because I feel like I would have to put in, like if people were looking at me, I'd be like, oh, I better act like I'm doing something. Yeah. And I wonder if on e-bikes you can actually move your legs even when the bike is doing
its
own thing.
I'm sure you're allowed to move your legs whenever you like.
I'd fake it the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you'd be doing like 80 but pedaling. Yeah. No, and so it'll happen. It'll happen like another kid will cross the road at the lights or whatever and he won't move his legs. And it just blows my mind because he takes off and he should be pedaling, but he doesn't. And I just
like, what world am I in? This is the future.
E-bikes.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Remember those tar balls that washed up on Sydney beaches?
I do recall. Now, I don't think we talked about it because we didn't get around to it. We had it sort of
on
the list. You were away, I reckon, the morning.
Oh, was I? Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, this happened in Sydney, a couple of months ago, and people were like, what the hell are these balls of tar that have washed up on Coogee Beach? Coogee. And mid-October, there you go. So it wasn't even that long ago. And people were like, what are these? And I also was like, what are these? Now a study has come out. A whole team of scientists have spent weeks analysing the mysterious balls.
Right. So they are table tennis ball size?
Yeah. Probably tennis ball size,
really?
Some of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they look kind of like lint balls if they'd been found in the ruins of Pompeii.
Yes.
Right.
That is such a, you're always so good.
Thanks,
with the explanations.
Mate.
Well done you. So a professor has come out and said, look, we thought it was runoff from an oil spill, but it turns out it's something else. So I thought, should we have a little game?
Oh,
because I've got a whole bunch of stuff that it is, and the professor's written it all out here. So why don't you see if you can guess one of the seven things that are encased in these balls.
Seven things.
Yeah.
So is it petroleum? Is there like petrol?
Petrol. Well, there's PFAS chemicals. So let's say petrol. That's fine.
Ah, yes.
Let's say that. Okay. What else is in these tar balls?
These tar balls. Is there human waste?
Yes, there's feces, Tom.
Hooray.
There is human-generated waste.
Okay. So we've got petrol. We've got feces.
Yeah.
What else have we got in there? Is there sort of baby oil a la P. Diddy's house.
There is cooking oil, Tom.
I'll take it.
Oh, my God.
What else? Is there, along the same line, latex?
No.
There's no latex, but what... what do you do after using latex? Maybe you want to get in
soap.
Yes, there's soap scum.
This is disgusting. Yeah. What a quiz. Mm-hmm. How many do we...
Okay, you got... Look, I don't think... You got four left.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're going to get them, but what I will say is let's see if I can try and get you there.
Okay.
All right? So... I'm at the gym.
Yeah.
And, you know, one minute I'm like skinny. And then the next minute I see a guy in the back alley.
Oh,
and
roids. He's like, there's steroids in there.
Steroidal compounds.
So traces of steroids, essentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
These fruit flies on my plants are killing me. I know what to do.
Oh, pesticide.
Pesticide.
Yeah. All right.
There's also. Anti-hypertensive medications.
Okay, medication.
So there's drugs
right.
in there.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
drugs in there. And the last one,
yeah.
you're not really going to get, but if I'm a horse and I need medication,
yeah.
but the kids have stolen it.
Oh, ketamine?
Yes, veterinary drugs are also in these.
Okay. How is all of that in these balls? Where have they come from?
I don't know. They're just disgusting. They're like, so this is actually putrid, and it's all found in sewage systems and stuff like that. The exact origins we cannot say, but what we can say is it's disgusting.
Yep. All right.
And we don't know if it's from a shipping spill or it's wastewater overflow.
It has to be
but
waste.
But it's all come together.
It has to have come from the sewers.
Ball.
Surely.
Yes.
Surely. There's not all of that. All of that stuff's not happening on one ship. You
well,
know what I'm saying? There's not one.
I don't know. There's a couple of billionaires out there who get up to some stuff.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Fun fact. Every Friday morning, we like to send you off to work with some fun and interesting facts you can use to impress your workmates who aren't your real mates, but it is important they think you're smart, because then when an opportunity comes up in the workplace, for example, a pay rise or a promotion, they'll say, hey, give it to Gary or Karen. They're obviously very smart, obviously very good at their job. They're always full of fun and interesting facts.
Yes.
Okay, you're welcome. Let's start today with the Ford Motor Company, close to home.
Local.
Shop local. Ford Motor Company tests their car seats with a robotic bottom that's heated to 36 degrees Celsius and releases sweat.
Really?
Yeah.
I imagine sometimes after a weekend, they'll be like, guys, we've been telling you, if you're going to take the bottom, bring it back. We have this issue every Monday
morning, testing time.
Oh, this happens every week.
We've misplaced the bottom. Oh, sorry.
Who signed it out?
We've got the logbook. You need to put your name in there and the K's that the bottom has done.
Oh, well, we can't use this one anymore.
Too much sweat.
All right. My God.
I thought this one's interesting. Less funny, more interesting. You like this one. It's a space one.
Yeah.
All right. One possible method of planetary defense, because, you know, if an asteroid comes towards, right, you know, they've all these different ways that they've covered it in movies, Armageddon,
pew, pew.
Deep Impact, mm-hmm. the two that spring to mind. The way they would probably actually do it is use a spacecraft that uses its mass to drag dangerous asteroids off target. And they're known currently as gravity tractors.
Oh, I love that name.
But the way I would describe it is almost like a tugboat.
Well, it's kind of I wonder if it's pulling or it's pushing as well.
Well, it sounds like it's pulling. Like
how cool's that?
Yeah, using it so
space.
Like because you just adjust it enough to just miss Earth, ripper off.
So what would be a good name for that?
A gravity tractor?
Yeah, or a...
What?
What is it if it's like a tugboat?
Oh, like a gravity tugboat? Like
yeah.
Asteroid Mc... asteroidy face.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sorry, I didn't know what you were saying then. You know how everybody has tells? Like, you can, everybody's got these little things that they do. Famous tennis players Boris Becker and Andre Agassi in the 90s played so many matches, and Andre Agassi was apparently always really good at guessing where Boris Becker's serve would land.
Oh, okay.
Could always pick it, and yeah. Boris used to frustrate Boris no end. And when they retired, Agassi revealed that Becker would always stick his tongue out in the direction he was serving. Oh. So he would just watch his tongue and be like, all right, he's going right. And
that is so great.
Yeah, how good.
That right? is amazing.
Yeah, so interesting. In Iceland, you're not allowed to name your baby Viking.
Okay.
Karaya, you are though, obviously.
Yeah.
There's an airport in Dunedin, New Zealand. You're only allowed to hug for 3 minutes. In drop-off zones, they'll put you on the clock. Three-minute hugs.
3 minutes.
For fonder farewells, you're advised to move to the car park. And even fonder farewells again, there is the hotel there. If you would like. I reckon that's where we'll end Fun Fact Friday for this week. Monday, you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. Oh, Thursday. Fun fact.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold.
Now, earlier in the week, we caught up with two of the committee members from the Outpost, mm-hmm. not for profit, helping the homeless and people suffering from food insecurity here in Geelong CBD. Amy and Maggie embarking on a week on the streets to get some real life experience and some real visibility across the challenges that are faced by the guests that we serve at the Outpost. As I say, we spoke to them after their first night on the streets Monday, and we've got them on the line now as well. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Coming to the end of a massive week, how have you fared and how are you feeling?
We're feeling pretty rough, Tom, I can tell you that. Mm. We're not looking our best. It's certainly been a experience that tends to go from very early in the morning until very late in the evening. There's not a lot of rest that is going on for us.
And
it's been incredibly eye-opening, and we've had some really proud moments, and we've also had some really scary moments along this journey as well.
Really? Maggie, can you open up about that? What's kind of been a bit scary over this journey?
Yeah, I guess it's been really challenging for us as women to find somewhere to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. We had a great location at Cadinia, and since that has been published, we've had to find somewhere else, and we have found that extremely challenging. Yeah. So last night it took us a few hours to find somewhere where we actually felt safe.
Okay. So you haven't been out of sort of set up camp. You've had to move most nights. Is that right?
No. So we have been at the lovely GMHBA stadium. We had what we called our castle for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We did move from the first night to the second, but then we were really really fortunate to feel comfortable and safe where we were,
mm-hmm.
Aside from the first night, which was uneasy. But we did actually get kind of used to our surroundings and know what to expect. Mm-hmm. So when we needed to move again, that was quite challenging.
Mm.
Now, Maggie, you said when you came in as well that you girls, even though you work in that industry of helping guests who are homeless on the street, you had to pretend that you didn't know any of the services in Geelong, and you could only find out about those services organically by people who were on the street, and that would be the only way that you could then go and utilise those services. How have you found people? Are there many people that actually know what services are available to them here in Geelong?
Yeah, we've actually been quite surprised with the knowledge of the community in Geelong. Amy and I have been accessing what we like to call our little triangle of support. So most days we've been going to Christchurch to access their breakfast that they provide, and then we've been going to Lazarus Community Centre for lunch, and then obviously the Outpost for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the day, we've been accessing different services that the community has told us about. So that's been like the Salvation Army, Salvos Connect, the Power and You, the library, and Neo Cafe. They have their cool suspended coffee service where they provide coffees to those in need. It's like a pay it forward service.
Oh, great.
So we've definitely been learning a lot about the services around Geelong, which has been good.
Tell us, Amy, what are a couple of the most surprising things? You know, we've touched on the fact that you're both quite familiar with the homeless community in Geelong and some of the struggles that they face, but living on the streets for a week, what are one or two of the most surprising things that have come up?
I think the most beautiful thing that we have discovered is that the homeless community is a community within themselves. They spend a lot of time making friends, really, amongst each other and helping each other out. We didn't really understand how deep that connection and how needed it was for people to actually have that human connection from 7:30 in the morning through to 9:30 in the evening. That's been incredibly surprising, and they're the most generous people with each other as what we have met. We also have discovered that city closes down at 9:30. So if you want to go to the toilet within our CBD, you cannot.
Really?
If you want to have a shower after 10:30, a hot shower after 10:30, you cannot. As well as we obviously know that there's no crisis accommodation. So we are here walking the streets trying to find safe and suitable places to sleep when there should be somewhere that is offered for people just to have somewhere safe and sheltered for the evening.
Now, you girls are doing this not only to gain life experience for yourselves, but also to gain awareness in the community. Have other media outlets reached out? Has this gained a bit of traction?
Yeah, they certainly have. We've been really proud of the way that the community has gotten behind us. We do have, I guess our purpose is to raise awareness and to provide a voice and a face for those that perhaps wouldn't have that opportunity to actually speak. So, yeah, we have been speaking to different media. There is a big story on the ABC this morning and at 7 o'clock tonight as well. From our perspective, we just want to make sure that the people who are doing it tough or doing it rough on the street were actually able to have a voice throughout this whole process.
Yeah, for sure. So you'll be on the telly on ABC tonight, is that right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, amazing. You're doing such good work and, you know, just raising that awareness is magnificent. Also breaking this morning or released this morning is the news that the outpost will be moving from Busport car park, where it has been for many years, to up the hill, up to, are we allowed to say the actual address?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so on Little Ryrie Street.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it used to be the Green Spot Cafe, I believe.
Yeah,
or the Little Green Cafe. So, yeah, that's going to be a wonderful upgrade to the venue, and so allow the outpost to offer some really sort of upgraded facilities and services. So good on you, both of you. Stay safe. How much longer are you going to be out there?
We'll be out until Sunday, Tom, so we're really interested to see how a Saturday night on the street goes when a lot of the public is out. Obviously, after those hours, after 9:30, when everything shuts down and people have no place to go.
Yeah.
And intermingling between those who are doing it tough and those who are headed out for the night.
All right, Amy, Maggie, from The Outpost, people can follow your journey on the socials, @outpost_Geelong on Instagram and The Outpost on Facebook. Stay safe and we'll catch up with you again next week, okay?
Thanks, guys.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Now, we all know that sometimes I don't make the best decisions because the mind and the decision-making part of the brain don't really connect a lot of the time. Bless you, Tom.
Thank you.
And you hit it so well, I could have...
I turned my microphone off and sneezed into my elbow, into my jumper.
Well, normally you just sneeze out into the world.
Hey, that was one time
when
it surprised me.
So angry with you.
Here's a sneeze.
Yeah, disgusting. Anyway, so yesterday I found myself in a building. Okay, and I had to use the elevator. And this building is about 6 floors. And I walked in and I had to make a decision. And I thought, you know what? I think I know where I'm going, but I'm not really sure. And there were two people in there already who were together going to the same place.
Yep.
And they had chosen a level. Okay. And I thought, you know what? I think that it might be level 3. So I'm just going to press level 3 and we'll see how we're going. And then I was looking on my phone and I realised, yeah, I'm supposed to be on level 5.
Ah.
Now, at this stage, the lift has gone up from the ground level and it's picked up another person.
Yeah.
And then they've come in. Now, I can see that that lit up. We've got level 3, level 5 and level 6.
So you've pressed level 3 and then pressed level 5 because you've decided that's where you're actually getting off?
No. So I pressed level 3. The first two people that came in had pressed level 5. Then on the way up, the elevator stopped on level 2, let someone else in, and they pressed level 6.
Okay.
Right? Then I realised, oh, damn, I've got to go to level 5 too.
Yeah.
So as me, the person, what would you think that I would do? Do you think I would, A, get out of the lift in this busy building, get out of the lift on level 3 and act like I was going somewhere else only to then wait for the doors to close and press the up button again, 1,000%. Get back in and go level 5? Do you think I would have said, sorry, everyone, you know, my mistake and stayed in there to go to level 5?
You would absolutely get out and pretend like nothing was wrong and then wait for another lift. That's exactly how you do it.
And that's what I thought I would do, but I didn't. I didn't. I said, oh, sorry, that was me. I didn't know where I was going. I'll just close that one. Yep, sorry, guys. And I stayed in there and in everyone, the awkwardness. I leant in.
Amazing.
I leant in. Are the meds working? Is this what life is like?
I'm so proud of you.
I really thought
the second option would be that you would just shrink into the corner of the lift and just look around like, oh, that was weird. Who did that?
I'd just drop under the lift and be like, well, I must go now forever.
Yeah. Open the door and the ceiling of the lift and just climb out.
Don't mind me. Tom, Lingy
and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.